down and riff like it's a Stern episode, right?
Yeah, man. She's go driving. Nuts.
I'm Benji.
Don't call me Robin. That I got integrity. Don't call me Robin.
I love Robin.
Fuck Robin.
You know, Robin.
The news of Robin is, besides the celebrity interviews, the news of Robin is my main. That's the main thing I look for.
Am I wrong in thinking, like, Black Twitter would look at Robin as Aunt Jemima?
That's not the reason why I can't stand her. She's just annoying to me. It has nothing to do with that.
She seems like a librarian. I'm like, who put that teacher in the room?
Yeah, she's just annoying to me. It has nothing to do with it. Like, I get her whole shtick. I get what she's supposed to be doing.
She's the straight man, right? It's all in the news, and they don't include her on the funny shit.
There's a
until the moment it happens, you know what I mean? So she just knows what she's going to say news-wise, and then they hit her with the
in the early years of Family Guy, when Family Guy was good, they did a joke about Robin, but I can't make that joke.
Well, then why did you bring that to the podcast?
You get this guy fired from SNL.
I demand a performance.
Don't say the word chink on the podcast.
Listen, nobody knows your name yet. Just go ahead and be racist real quick.
Marina Franklin is having Shane Gillis on her podcast. So.
That's what's up.
Because she said, you know Marina Franklin is cool.
Gangster.
You know who Marina Franklin is, man. Right? So she was just like, she told them, like, straight up to his face, I didn't want to say shit about you and not say anything to your face. And so,
is she actually going to lecture him?
No. She was on his side.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
She said, she came up with Patrice, bro. Like, that was her homie. Okay. So hey,
allegedly, a lot of people did. Kevin Hart was his best friend. He jerked off in his living room.
I mean, I could see it, though. Think about it.
We're both
out of the same fucking place.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
That's
she was at the cellar, bro.
And
she was at the cellar.
And
she
Abby
came
Knight.
Up at the cellar. And she's a regular at the cellar. Yes. She came up with Patrice and them. Bill Burr calls her daily.
She goes up two nights a week,
dude.
Right? She goes up late night. Who is this?
Name you don't know who Marina Franklin?
Marina Franklin?
She's from Oak Park, man.
You gotta Google it and just show me the face.
You gotta take your ADD medicine, man. You gotta focus up. You need some notes? I got some paper here.
Well, you wanna write down names as we're going along.
He's Googling shit right now. He's on Wikipedia.
But no, she was like, she stuck up for him and said, basically, she's like, I feel like this is a whole pylon culture. She was like, I felt like it was a character. And she talked to him directly, and he was like, I would love to be on your podcast, and so he's going to come do it.
He'd love to be on anyone's podcast right now.
Because she's fair. She'll let you come on and say your shit and not be like, well, you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? She lets you explain your side.
You should apologize the way Norm MacDonald did. That was a good apology. I feel like Norm completely redeemed himself
but
with his apology.
It goes back to what I initially said, is that... That's why they hired him.
Yeah.
They knew. Didn't know what the fuck they were getting. They knew beforehand. And they played him. They played Buddy. They played Buddy super hard.
Talking about Norm MacDonald apologizing for.
You better come over here and speak into the mic. Don't you go shouting on my podcast.
Yeah, you talk about when Norm MacDonald made that comment about Me Too.
Yeah, man, break it down.
That's what you apologize for?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
okay. What the fuck did he say?
He said, I forgot, but he was like saying on how like people's careers were being this straight. I forgot exactly how he said. You have to look it up.
What did you think of Tony Hinchcliffe doing Norm MacDonald jokes on his Netflix special?
Did he steal his jokes?
Yeah.
Yeah?
What is this, that one shot shit?
Tony Hinchcliffe really don't be hit.
I'm not amazed you know the name of it. It's so obscure at this point.
I saw it.
Don't even
believe
this. I don't really think Tony Hinchcliffe is that funny.
I like the kid.
His
stand-up
is terrible, but his
I like his swagger, his roasting.
And I like that shit. I like his roasting. I don't like him doing stand-up.
Yeah, like everything about him except the stand-up.
Yeah.
Stand-up's the weakest point. I like that he's working on the roast. I like that he got offered a job at WWE and turned the shit down.
I was there.
I was about to say, didn't he show...
They offered him a job as a full-time writer.
And he would have to move up there and shit, and he turned that shit down. I heard him say
what, to Canada?
What the fuck does it
is? I think they're based out of
New York.
Is that where they're
I think he's based out of Connecticut.
It is based.
Yeah, he would have had to move to Connecticut, so he opted out to stay
New
in
York
LA
is right
and
there.
Do fucking stand up. That's
all
cool,
so
man.
So you're
that's
a comedian
cool shit, right?
And a wrestling guy. Would you write for the WWE, whatever?
I would rather write for AEW.
what the fuck is that? But
you would if the gig was offered to you and they're like, yes, hey man, you're not going to have time to do stand-up.
Yeah, I think I'd probably try to turn the company, to get to make the company as good as it was in the 90s. But
you're going to do this thing later?
Do y'all have y'all favorite wrestler?
We need more yellow spandex.
Wait, did y'all watch wrestling? You watch wrestling?
No.
Ever in your entire life?
Saturday morning shit. Yeah.
Saturday morning shit,
macho
right?
Macho Man shit.
All right, he was a Macho Man. I was Ultimate Warrior.
I'm a bit Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. I got the hat.
His nipples used to be so pointy and hard because he did steroids.
they had
like five Ultimate Warriors because they kept dying.
This is a family-friendly podcast. I will not have any discussion of nipples.
Did you go PG?
Children listen to this.
PG podcast?
No kids listen to it.
Good kids.
If they are.
I've never seen Sean Gillis. He just showed him me. Looks like an innocent chap.
Sweet, innocent Vlad listens to this.
He's got a sweet face.
Look how adorable Vlad is.
Let's talk about Shane Gillis.
KB, I want to ask
Shane Shane Gillis looks like a sweetie. Teddy bear face. I've never seen a guy.
He looks like
fat.
He looks like
fat people are
oily fish.
Every he's that dude that is still going to
like
his homecoming weekend, even though he like 37 from his college. Like he that dude that's still doing kegs and eggs on Sunday morning homecoming weekend.
I heard the comment.
That's a good way.
He hangs out with high schoolers.
The negative comment.
It was on a podcast. You got to watch what you say on these goddamn things.
I say whatever the fuck.
You don't have a career anyway, so just go crazy.
Yeah, when you're nobody, you can build yourself up by saying some controversial shit. But if you're already up, got that SNL. All right,
so wait. So, you know, potentially you guys, you know, go on, have careers. We've all had our moments saying some crazy shit. If you get called out, what are you doing? You going to lean into it?
Yeah, that's what the fuck I said.
Are you gonna explain yourself?
You gotta own it.
If you start apologizing and like owning up to like mistakes, they're just gonna like pile on you and bury you after that. You gotta Joey Diaz it. Like, fuck you. I said this and I said that and that. Like, what are you gonna cancel me for? Like, you just have to own it and be like, that is what I said. And,
I took her by gunpoint. that's what we did back then.
This line's a blow. It was in Colorado.
Asked if I could eat a pussy.
1992.
That's how you know it's going to be a good story.
Wait, did somebody say that my pussy eating wasn't good? Call it to the stand.
You get down in that monkey.
Hey, Joe Diaz can say fuck you, but when you're Kevin Hart status, you got to apologize. Right?
Right.
A-list. You can say fuck you.
Wait. I'm going to lean into this, though. He don't have to.
Is Kevin Hart, but he doesn't realize that he doesn't have to.
Yeah,
the NBA. Hold on. The NBA tweeted like, you know, free Hong Kong or some shit, and China rolled up on him, and they were like, hey, you better take that back, or you losing us.
LeBron James
market.
Was like, we need to shut the fuck up about that. Y'all fucking up my money.
Kevin Hart, one of those.
His hairline went right back to where it originally was. That
motherfucker. He's gonna need that hairline surgery.
That motherfucker had that fucking headband all the way back. I was like, you lost your hairline overnight? Like, what the fuck?
Motherfucker's gonna need that Urlacher surgery.
That was 5 to 35 million.
All right, my bad.
That's the real crossover. I want to ask you a question about black people.
Go for it.
So, I grew up with British accents in my house. You know, I heard British shit growing up. So, when I watch movies, I don't have any problem understanding it. Like, I'll watch, like, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels with my friends, and they'll, like, have to pause the shit and put the subtitles on.
Dude, I did with that and
Snatch. They can't deal with accents.
Have you seen Snatch?
Love Snatch.
So, maybe you've already answered my question. My question was, black people, they're so fluid with language, where they're constantly changing, you know, tonality and vocab and shit, and making up new
vernacular,
shit.
Yeah.
I would imagine they wouldn't have any problem understanding a British accent because it's that same muscle in the brain that just, like, keeps language fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing, or am I... is it just, like, a pot thought? And
no.
Like, nah, man.
No. It... All right. This is a good fucking question, Ian, because I just was thinking about this shit the other day.
No, you weren't. Shut up.
No bullshit. No bullshit. I was. Because there was a post on the Shade Room. It's a gossip site for black folks, basically, Shade. On Instagram. And they had this, if you're from this place, you'll say this. Like, the girls will kill you with, so it was like, if you're from Chicago, you say G. Or if you're from, you know, Baltimore, Atlanta. You say Mo. Or you, yeah. you know, so they're... So we're saying all the Baltimore. Shit, or, you know, Toronto was like fam, but I was like, you know, or I saw a phoneme for West Chicago, which was hilarious.
If you call your homie God, you might be from Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
If you call King, your homie you know, son, you're from you're, Queens.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, like, and it's always, it is
my
fluid.
Son and them. Cousin, and I was thinking you're about from Atlanta. That
because the hot new show, low-key for black people, is a show called Top Boy on Netflix. And it's
that sounds gay.
Top Boy.
Top Boy does sound a bit.
It does sound kind of gay. And Drake is producing it, so I was like, Jesus. Nice. But it's basically Top like a British Wire.
Uh oh.
Love the Wire. Love
it's a the British. British. And so they say shit, love and I've British. Seen more and more black people be like, man, isn't it? Like, that's something that they say all the time in the show. It's like, isn't it? Which is a, you know.
Is there a thing where you look at British black people as like they're not black people the same way you are? Like, they don't get it.
No, they get it. They experience it. They just experience the exact same shit, just differently.
Different accent, that's it. I think, I don't know what your original thing you were saying was, but I think, like, the way the lock, stock, barrel dudes, that's, like, their hood talk of the Brits, right?
Yeah.
They got their little swaggerific talk. That's the same thing black people
but
do
if you,
to the language
and
over here, right?
And it's, like, you know, regional, but it's so much fun to create new words. For people to just be like, I'm creating a new word because this is
culture.
This is,
like,
you know,
you need
what
the confidence to come up with a word, though.
White
you
people
have
haven't come
level.
Up with a word.
White people are
cancel culture. That's what white people came up with.
It's
based.
Funny, just
that's
think
white
about,
vocab.
You
have you
create
been red
a word pill? And it ends up in
Here,
the
here's, here's
everybody's
an
vernacular.
Word that was recently made up: cultural appropriation. That's a good fake word that doesn't exist.
All right, KB about to put
Easy
you in your place.
Yeah, I am.
He's kind of about to take it political. He's like,
I
those
think,
goddamn...
There's culture. There's you can... I don't think no... Like, just because you were born in a
so
certain territory...
So you're stuttering
territory,
and stumbling
mean,
already. Let KB make a statement.
Yeah, let him talk.
Just because you were born in a certain part of the world doesn't mean that you... now own this culture. The way you dress, the way you cook your food, the way you behave, like
no,
that
you do
belongs to you.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I feel like
you don't,
of,
do your, you don't get to say that. You don't like, get to say that when you get the negative aspect.
If your mom cooked fried pork chops
like
every day,
culture belongs
that's
to
what forces ownership on people.
I think culture belongs to people as a whole, and we all should be able to participate in any part
no,
of the culture.
No, you're not
we want.
That's not cultural appropriation, though.
Okay, then...
That's cultural appreciation.
Yeah. Or participation.
Participation.
That's,
part,
that's
not cultural
ribbon.
Appropriation.
So when people do
here's,
cultural
appropriation
is
like trying to get rid of somebody's...
No, that's not...
No,
so
you're
people,
completely wrong
see,
as well.
This is, this, this is,
I'm dumb.
This is the reason why I hate when people be like, culture is supposed to be shared. Yeah, bro, we know that. What people who are not white are saying is that when you take our culture and you have chastised us, you have discriminated against us, you have hindered us because of those characteristics, and now you're saying because you do it, it's okay. That's cultural appropriation.
Well,
when
you
tell,
can't shit on
wait,
black
up,
people for
20 up,
years and then start
bro,
rapping.
When you tell
well,
yeah,
it's
black
also...
women, don't walk around with your hair like, you know, braided back, and then you see Kesha or some bitch with her hair braided back, and now white girls are rocking it, and now it's okay, and now culturally it's become okay because white people did it. That's
it's,
cultural appropriation.
It's when you hold on. It's when you oppress like the entire blues rock scene, but then you have Elvis, who just copies the black people, but he gets all the credit for being like the innovator and
of
the
it.
Genius.
Yeah,
but he did have those hips. That motherfucker
yeah,
has
he learned all of that from his writer.
So,
who was
so you're
a black
saying
dude.
He, Elvis shouldn't been
yeah,
allowed
Elvis
to participate
songs.
In that kind of music because he wasn't
I think
the
it's a
creator?
Thing of, like,
bro,
you gotta
no,
he
did, no, no, this is what you're
he,
thinking, though.
He,
Elvis mainstream the shit. If Kesha wears the braids... Now we're talking about Kesha when she was on top, not washed up. Now Kesha.
Well, whatever.
But Kesha,
I
when the TikTok on the clock song came out, if she wore the braids, then that's a mainstream bitch doing it, and then everybody sees it because it's like Kevin Hart having to apologize, so everybody sees the top person, right? So like if the person at the top does it, Everybody sees it. So, but let's say maybe some of the black artists that she got that from, maybe they weren't all the way as popular as she was amongst.
It was. They were never going to be allowed to be as popular as she was in the beginning. So you're looking at it as like, oh, we're participating. No, bro, when you don't even give credit, when you don't acknowledge, when you don't share in but that participation, you? I'm talking about the bigger you, the proverbial you of appropriators.
The white devil so that let is
me
you.
So let me give you examples. You. All right, Elvis Presley.
Thomas Edison, even though it's not.
Right.
Thomas
Edison. Elvis is a good way of getting white people to digest rock and roll, though, right? You they're like, this music could sell.
No, bro.
But they're not going to buy it if it's Chuck Berry.
Bro. The white kids were already buying it. How do you think those white kids started doing it? How did they start doing it? Because they were already buying it. But when black people did it,
but their parents weren't approving of
the
shit.
It was called bad. It was pieces of shit. They couldn't. These artists had to tour on certain circuits.
Yeah, rock and roll was considered dirty.
They were like banned, and like they had to. So you had to deal with the perception of this being this bad music, and then you had the perception of what are you niggas doing here? Because you're still living in a time where Jim Crow still existed.
The Green Book, I watched the movie.
You know what I'm saying?
Hard to
so, like, you have all of that shit happening, and then motherfuckers emulate what you do, and then they get bigger, and do maybe they reference you. Yeah, but do you ever get to that point or that recognition?
You're just Stan Lee doing a cameo.
Into the pantheon of that? No, they gotta die and shit is already over afterwards. And then it's like, you're inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Nigga,
he died broke.
He died 20 years ago, fam.
He worked at a tire shop. He died
working. Elvis Presley Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now proudly presents.
I have a response to what you said. If a person was saying, like, screw all that, you know, part of someone's culture, but then that person started participating in that culture, that would be, like, that's hypocritical. You can't do. They can't talk shit about it, then participate. But this is, like, a person, let's say, like, participating in a culture, he wasn't the one talking shit. His ancestors, people before him born, maybe they were talking shit of the culture. Why does
I'll give you the difference.
From there.
Eminem is a dude that is cultural.
He's a modern-day Elvis.
No, he's not. He's cultural appreciation.
No, but I'm saying, like, white people wearing, like, hoop earrings, that's Latino, you can't do that, cultural appropriation. Or, like, white people having dreads, someone saying, Kendall, it's cultural appropriation. I think that is nonsense. All right,
so, I just explained that, though. It's because when you're do you know where the term dreadlocks came from?
I do not.
Dreadlocks came from when British colonizers landed in Jamaica, and these people were growing out their hair. They didn't believe in cutting that shit, so when it grew out, it would naturally just lock, and they called them those fucking dreaded locks. And their kids would go to school and they'd have to cut out their fucking hair.
They dreaded
even though it was their personal belief, they had to cut out their fucking hair. You know what I'm saying? So like. So, that's so then when a white dude do it and he's like, oh, well, this is that shit.
Why do I have to know?
White guys with dreads are dorks. Let's just put that out
there. You should know the culture if you're going to participate. You should know.
Vlad,
hold on. Shut the fuck up. It's okay to, you know, do shit that's cool as a regular person. You're talking about, like, icons.
Icons. Somebody was saying, like, Selena Gomez can't be, like, wearing, like, an Indian dress in her music video because that's appropriating, like, Indian culture. Or wearing, like, a geisha, like a Chinese traditional dress because you're just using the profit for your money for your music video.
Who's
using
the
that
white,
for,
who's your generation? Who's the white Australian bitch?
Your generation is making a stink. Should people to wear those Indian or...
I don't give a fuck about any of that. I'm talking about the actual system. I'm not talking about some triggered young motherfuckers who don't even get what it means. I'm talking about truly what it truly means. Cultural appropriation, what it truly means. Not people jumping on a hair trigger on bullshit.
Okay.
I agree with you on that.
I haven't seen an example of actual true cultural appropriation, someone being mad about it, where it makes sense. Give me one example, because every example I hear is just like, I want to tell a person to shut up and stop crying because you're ridiculous.
Let me tell you something. When your skin is the color of mine and you live in this world, then come and holler at me about that question. Because to be quite honest with you,
doesn't that feel like pulling out the card though, where you're like, Vlad, nah, here's an impassable. You're not black.
Just, but can, bro, give me an example,
I'll give you an example.
This is a comedy podcast.
I keep giving you examples, and then you're like, well, he was just no, bro. Motherfuckers, there are motherfuckers that have fucking Elvis in a fucking house, and they got a fucking Confederate flag hanging in the back. Stop it. Stop sitting up there and try to say that this is
okay, shit. Yeah, because Elvis is black music.
It is black music, and he
can't not like black people like Elvis. So put it that way. You can't not like black people like Elvis.
And hold up. History keeps repeating itself.
What's wrong with white people making black music? Don't black people make white music too?
She's saying you can't have a flag that says you hate black people and then like Elvis at the same time. A guy who sings black music.
I don't know, in the simplest terms.
Like, you don't get that the system of bullshit trickles into everything, bro. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Is that you're thinking like, oh, it's just a
secret. I don't see any black people participating in another culture's activities.
And his cast.
The problem isn't people doing shit. It's that it's not legit until white people do it, which is a systemic problem.
Right.
Not necessarily throwing shade at the individuals.
I think it's lame when white people do it.
But the system of...
That's what I was saying.
We can't recognize black first or Latino, whatever.
I don't think that's right. The system doesn't think it's okay until white people start doing it. I think that is a messed up thing happening in society. But those individual white people choosing to participate in things outside their culture, I think they should be allowed to do that, and there's nothing wrong with
Everybody's allowed to do whatever the fuck they want. Nobody's saying that. You just got to put up with the stink you get for doing this shit.
But, all right, so if you're going to be a part of it, be a part of it fully. Don't be a part of it to get your money.
Don't
sit up there and speak on the issues. Use your power as that person to push progress.
No, let's say, what if I wanted to...
I think Vlad could rap, though, without paying tribute.
Let's say, what if I wanted to wear dreads and do a bunch of stuff from other people's culture, but I didn't, learn the deep history of anything? I just thought it looks cool, and I like to wear it, I like to do this, and I'm just enjoying my life. Would that be wrong of me, or do I have to go and study and know the deep history and appreciation of those things?
Here's my question.
Better not show up with a Coogee sweater, motherfucker.
It's cool to like shit, right?
Yeah, and I don't think...
Everybody likes shit.
Yeah, so...
Right? All right. So when you like something and you like it, like Oliver Tree, right?
Mm-hmm.
You introduced me to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then what did you do when you first heard him?
I shared with my friends.
And then what else did you do? Did you listen to only one song?
No.
What did you do?
Check out all of his music.
Did you like read up on him and what he was about or whatever?
I watched the podcast with him.
Yeah? So why did you do that?
He's an interesting person, and I piqued my curiosity.
All right. So that same curiosity that you have for that artist, that's the only thing, that's the difference between, that's what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying. It is. You do appreciate that aspect. You like it, right?
But even if I didn't, what if I just liked the song and learned nothing about him other than that, just like a couple of his songs? That should be okay, too. Why can't I just like something without having to really appreciate and understand it?
You're missing the whole point, bro. You're missing. There's a difference.
I think I'm not. There's a difference. I'm not understanding something.
You're not appropriating by liking something. That's not appropriation.
But how about participating in that?
Participating is not appropriation.
What is appropriation?
The appropriation is when the system hinders the cultures that you're pulling from that like. That's what I'm saying.
So I understand what it is from a big top perspective. What is cultural appropriation to an individual? Give me an example that you can tell one specific individual, hey, you're committing cultural appropriation. That is not okay. You should not be doing that. What is an example like that? Does that exist, or is that all just bullshit?
What do you want me to say? Do you want me to say a motherfucker walking around wearing fucking Aladdin fucking outfit. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yes, somebody walking around wearing Aladdin pants.
Who cares?
I bet some Indian people are gonna be outraged my culture is not your costume.
Bro,
you can't be wearing that as a fashion trend.
But here's your issue. You're looking at a holistic group of people by 12 people that's outraged online.
I see this every day posted on news articles, shared. This is the cancel culture.
But nobody is canceled. Nobody is canceled, bro. Tell me who's canceled.
Nobody's canceled.
Exactly. Because guess what? It's this many people complaining about shit. You're getting caught up in this many people. You're getting caught up in this many stories.
You're getting caught up in this week. What
you're getting
in
caught
six
into the inches. when there's miles, there's kilometers of shit.
Like if somebody wanted to, let's say
I walked down the beach and saw a white dude with locks on. I said, "Damn, bro! By the way, don't ever call him dreadlocks. Locks. All right." He had the most gorgeous locks. I was like, me and my roommate, and he was black. He was like, "Yo, dude, your locks is banging."
Ain't nothing dreadful about those locks.
Nah, bro, his locks was banging.
It's like feeling someone's material. You walk up to somebody, you feel their lock.
They were gorgeous. We didn't think cultural appropriation.
So
multiple black people walk past, didn't even think about it. It's a small ass. That's what I'm saying.
Long story short, Vlad's gonna grow dreadlocks. That's what it's all about.
I understand your point. I agree with you. I understand cultural appropriation as a general concept, but my problem is when you're like calling out an individual person for committing cultural appropriation. I think those scenarios are mostly like BS. They were aware.
Is the audience going to be mad? They were aware of it. Like, Eminem is aware of the perception of the system of him.
Hey, all the little white kids related to Eminem. That's why he sold so well. That's the truth.
That's what I was trying to say.
Stop wearing sweatsuits.
don't wear sweatsuits.
Hey, Eminem sold better than every black rapper because all the white kids bought the record. And yeah, a lot of white kids bought the black records too, but more white kids related to Eminem and bought his shit. Four times more.
It's the United States, dude.
And he's so good at rapping that black kids came over too, and they bought his shit too.
Like,
we're talking about white artists taking away black swag or whatever.
And then the rest is like.
And you forget one thing about Elvis. Elvis was handsome as fuck. He was a handsome motherfucker. Every girl wanted to fuck him. Bitches were fading into concerts. Everybody wanted to fuck Elvis.
Oh, hell yeah.
So he was a lot better looking than Chuck Berry.
You know those.
You gotta remember that.
You know those concerts smelled like pussy? All those wet teens.
And he was from Mississippi.
Not air-conditioned room.
Get a south sweat.
Sweating it through their thighs.
Are we on Twitch right now?
Yeah, man.
And the thing is...
Hold on, what's your name? What's your podcast?
This is Giovanni Diaz. That's my name. The Lobo Den is my podcast. What podcast am I on? What's going on?
You're on the Ian Ellis podcast.
Ian Ellis. I'm selling a DR4. Do you want to buy it?
No.
Okay.
I'm low tech on purpose. All right,
we can switch off.
We'll bring some jokes, though.
I'm going to ask a comedy question. The Shop Talk.
Okay.
Yay.
So I heard a great interview this week. There's like four or five interviews in my life that I look at. Like, I'll rewatch them again and again. Chappelle on the Actor's Studio. Patrice O'Neill on Marc Maron.
Oh, that's
a good one.
Now I'm going to add Milo Yiannopoulos on Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank podcast.
Oh, I haven't
heard obscure. How about Rodney Dangerfield on Howard Stern? Right before he died.
Was the Milo episode recent or was that old one?
It just came out. Well, really? If you're on his Patreon, it came out 3 months ago, but for free, it just came out.
Nice.
Everybody go check it out. So what Milo did is like, I've turned into a bit of a troll in my old age. And,
a little bit.
I'm figuring out as I go along. I don't have like a grand justification to what I'm doing. I don't know that what I'm doing is always right. I'm figuring it out. But Milo, he talked about trolling in this romantic way where it was like this obscure picture I was looking at, this blurry picture. Now it has lines and definitions and it feels sacred and holy, and we're doing a duty by trolling. It made me think about my material. I don't know what the fuck is going to come out of my mouth. I can't plan what I'm going to do because it happens in the moment. But retroactively, I can say what works best about what I do. Like, I can't strategize to make it, but I can look at it and go, like, that's when I'm at my best. And it's when I take two kind of different sides and seduce them, and then I play them against each other. And it's like, 1 point for your team, 1 point for your team, and then at the end, I smash them together and make fun of both of them. That's an insight I had to my comedy after watching this interview, and I want to ask you, what insights have you had since you've been performing, looking at, like, strategically, what works about you? What's funny about you? This is a long walk to the end of a question. I'm not even sure if it made sense.
That's the KB right there. You answered that question, goddamn it.
Look, I feel like I think I'm just starting to get funny maybe now. I'm just starting.
I tell you.
I feel like I'm just starting to get funny.
I didn't even smile up until about a week ago.
like right after this podcast, you'll be funny.
Because my first few years, if you listen to anything I said, it's nonsense what I'm talking about.
So what's the difference? Like, why are you more authentic?
Part of it was I'm only focusing on either writing or rewriting or performing stuff that I like or I'm interested in.
because I would waste a lot of time and energy on rewriting about material that I didn't give a fuck
about. Like you had to make it work.
I don't know why, though. I have no idea, because I just didn't know.
You don't give a fuck about the idea, but you got to make it work.
Yeah, because I wrote it down for some reason. Oh, I got to make it. I would waste all this time. And yeah. It was that Kurt Vonnegut quote that Kristen Toomey put up. I have it on my phone somewhere.
I think that's like a famine mentality where you're like, I don't believe in myself that I'll come up with more shit.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably gain the confidence to be like, no, I do this. So I'll come up with more shit. So who gives a fuck about,
what about
making
black
this
room?
Shitty bit work? Oh, you want to talk about black rooms?
I feel like a lot of people think I feel like a lot of people think they got some good shit. They're going to test it out on the north side, test it out in the burbs, mm-hmm. getting some enthusiastic laughs in class for the white people. I think you don't know if you got good stuff until you test it in a
KB
black
room. Don't ask KB to co-sign your statements.
She's looking right at you.
I think you got to test in a black room.
Yeah, look, I'm going to say you want to go
that's
to all kinds
sword.
About all kinds of audiences.
That's a double-edged sword. Like, I've seen...
It could, because you could be hacking working in a black room if you do it a certain way.
I know about black rooms.
But I'll also say this. There are motherfuckers like... that I know that are not your stereotypical style of black comedian, and they were doing black rooms and crushing. Yeah, so yeah. I think that the thing with black rooms is that
it's a less forgiving audience.
They smell blood. If you don't go up there...
No, they're more forgiving if you're hitting the right notes.
Yeah.
But no, they don't forgive you if you're whack. They don't forgive that shit. You'll get booed.
That's something you made up in your head.
No.
That's all the audience is.
No, like you...
No. The annoyance theater, they will not boo you.
It's about confidence. If they smell that you're not confident, it's a wrap. And if you go up there bummy because black people dress nice to go out... Every single time. So if you go up there bummy as fuck and you just like, like kind of, they're like, nah, bro, we paid tickets, we got dressed, we got a 2-drink minimum. Nah, you
better make my fucking laugh.
Yeah, like,
play you off stage like the Oscars.
I'm gonna tell you a good thing and then a dirty thing. So, good thing, it's one of the dumbest things KB ever said to me. She's like, all these networks are trying to figure out how to get the Midwest, the flyover states.
Yeah.
We have them as our target audience.
Yeah.
So if we can make every fucking room in the Midwest laugh, that's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
It's great training.
Yeah.
A dirty thing. All right. There's this transgender comedian in Canada. Canada has legit safe space comedy scenes. I think New York does too. I think
Portland,
Chicago
I think
probably
does.
Portland definitely does. San Francisco got some. LA
Seattle.
Got some.
Wow, safe space comedy.
So this this transgender person who's kind of like the head of their cancel culture, like calling out comics. That's not appropriate. You're banned from rooms.
I hate
or,
people
you
like
know,
that.
This
that
person.
Happened to me once by a transgender person.
I want
to
hear your story about a takeover.
Okay.
Keep that in the back. Remind me as a note. Louis came to town.
So.
And the transgender snapped off. Like, how dare you have Louis after all he did? Blah, 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 blah. And then it came out that this transgender had sexually assaulted like 14 women in the comedy scene. And this insight that I got from it from these YouTubers I was watching, I wish I could shout them out. I don't remember their names. Two black dudes.
Whoever Delta smelled it.
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Was it
Dave and Eddie?
A lot of times in these safe spaces, the head vampire is... it's a wolf. It's a wolf
in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, I know that.
It is gathering vulnerable people so that they can have them under their control.
Yeah.
Yeah. I concur. Am I supposed to
I know some people that called me out that got some skeletons in their
closet. Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense.
All right, Giovanni, you want to tell your story?
I don't really know what happened. Well, I do. I didn't find out. I went to Late Late Breakfast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you're right. Sorry.
I went to Late Late Breakfast, and then we were supposed to do... I signed up for the Tournament of Champions, and we're supposed... And the first round was 30 seconds, me versus the other comic, and then we're supposed to be no... Is the list out? Yes. Yeah. They're not supposed to be... There's supposed to be no... what should we get set up? No speaking, mm-hmm. right? So it was one of the, you know, more kind of improv-y, that's alternative stuff. And then I was like, I didn't realize this is what I signed up for. And I was like, damn. So it was me and Bobby Buds, and we're supposed to be no speaking. And I was like, well, oh, crap, why did I sign up for this? I don't know this type of comedy group. I was like, oh, whatever, you know, something different. So I try to think.
You sitting there trying to act it out?
No, I just try to think, what am I going to do? I was like, what am I going to do? Not speak, I guess. Not mine. So I was like, you know what I'll do? So I wore my pink MAGA hat, and I had all these InfoWars Trump shirts. I didn't wear it in, but I had it.
A pink MAGA hat is kind of a subversive statement.
Yeah, it's like, pink. It's that pink snapback one.
But people weren't reading into that. They just saw Trump.
Well, yeah, look. So I didn't even have the. I had my jacket. My point was, I was going to take it off, mm-hmm. put on just like I can't talk. Take on a shirt. And then take out another shirt. There's another one underneath. Take another shirt. And then I also brought some Magnum condoms. I don't know. I don't know what I was going to do with those. Maybe. I was trying to figure something out because it's 30 seconds of no speak. I've never done comedy like this.
And you have a new safe space available.
So now I'm there. I'm sitting. I'm waiting for the show to start. And somebody gets behind me. My hat's on backwards. I have a jacket. Everything's covered. So you can't see anything, right? And she was like, What's with the hat? What's with the hat? And I was like, no, I'm going to perform. I'm doing something. She's like, no, what's with the hat?
You do look like a terrorist.
I'm Mexican. You look
just like Bin Laden.
So I'm wearing the hat.
You're in a hot room with a jacket on, and someone saw something and said something.
So I'm... What do you think this will start?
I was just asking this dude if he likes to go. I'm looking at this list. Everybody signed it in weird places for this open mic. One guy is number 9. One guy is number 11. I was asking this guy, you like to go on before or after a hitter?
So
a good comedian.
Let me finish really quick because I got to go over to at work. Right. Where am I at? Oh, so then she's tapping me and she's like, hey, what's like? Look, I'm performing. There's a thing. I didn't even know she was a comic. And then finally, she put her hands on me, like pushed me to the side. Like, no, this is there's no hate here, Bo. And I was like, when she touched me, I was like, there's producers here. There's a lot of people in the scene. I'm not gonna do anything stupid. And I was just like, okay, I gotta go. I couldn't find a producer. I went to go find Bobby Buds. I was like, hey, Bobby, man, something happened. Somebody was kind of trying to fight me. I just gotta go. So I left. I tried to go to do North Bar, do a mic, but I was just so pissed that I just went home. Didn't post about it. Just told my friends about it. I was pissed off, whatever. I didn't find out until Amy told me, he's like, hey, sorry I didn't get back to you about hosting Still Not Tuesdays. Oh, God.
Still.
Mojo's.
Mojo's, yeah. I always mix that up with the Thursdays and Fridays.
I used to love that mic.
All right.
Yeah. But, see you next Tuesday.
Used
to be kind of a regular.
But look, she was like, I didn't get my calendars at work. I just didn't message you. I hope you don't think it was about that thing. And I was like, what thing? With the comic out, the transgender comic. I was like, I didn't even know about it. And I guess she put up a big post and a picture. Don't have this guy in your rooms. Blah blah blah. He promotes hate and racism.
So
and
how
I was
did you
like,
respond?
And
I didn't into
nothing.
It?
Nothing. I just left it. I didn't even know. When I found out she was a comic, I was even more pissed. Like, that was a comic who did that. And then I was like, look, bitch. Like, okay, you're calling me fucking a fucking. Like, look, I was just mad. First of all, I'm Mexican. My dad got motherfucking deported. Oh, I was just so pissed off. And it was like, I just let it, I felt, it's a lose-lose for me, so what am I going to do about it? But I got to go to at work. You guys can discuss. I'll see you guys in a little bit. I'll be back. Hey, Rimley.
Hey.
I'll be back. I got to go at work. I think I got
check out his podcast.
Peace out, Gio.
We're looking for stories of insights into your craft. Maybe, listen to KB and then come up with your own.
Oh, is it? Oh,
that guy's got a podcast.
Yeah,
I couldn't stand.
What
4
was the
minutes.
Question?
No, I'm just talking.
Hey, you can hear Stephanie Carroll on his podcast. She has a big show coming up at LOL.
At LOL.
Yes, you
want to
plug it? Shout out to Lamp God. Scott Brennan made a funny ass commercial on Instagram.
Broken laptop guy.
Yeah.
I think you said Lamp God. I'm like, who the fuck is Lamp God?
It's an in reference.
Oh.
Last little hit out to Gio's podcast. Anybody up late? A little insomnia? Can't get to sleep? Click it on. Gotta put you right out.
I don't know what that's about. check out the last episode of my show. It's called The Mixtape Volume 10. 40 minutes of just comedy. If you like it, please share.
I watched the Scion shit. Today. My last break.
You got boogers coming out and everything. Revenge of the Sis is sick too. I think they've been kissing. They've been smooching. Kyle been kissing Revenge of the Sis.
Man, he sounded like Alex Jones the way he was trying to get them donations. I was like,
guys.
Little
snot nose ass. Going up.
Go get you some Mucinex, fam. With all them donations, go get you some Mucinex.
It's not covered by the link card. He ain't getting it. Alright, do we want to wrap this up?
Yeah, check out the Happy Corner podcast.
Shout out to KB with apologies back in a month. You guys got Twitters.
Apologies to Gio. I'm talking shit. I just thought the story was a little boring.
Check out Brand New Logic podcast. Coming to you soon.
When you dropping, Vlad?
Well, I already have the first 2 episodes recorded from like a year ago, but I'm buying a 4K video camera. and like a really nice microphone at the end of October.
It's coming to YouTube.
Starting in November, new YouTube videos every week.
Yeah, man. At Philip Wave on Twitter.
One more time with Ryan Johnson here, everybody. Yeah, we got a new lighting system. So again, it's green during your segment up there. When you got a minute left, it's turning yellow. And when it's red, that means you're done. Also,
if it flashes, that's like, dude, wrap that up.
Also, Brian, how's the any progress catching the Batman yet? Have you caught the Batman yet? We're all rooting for you. He's a menace. He's a menace to our fine city. With that, guys, introduce the next guy. Go to the stage right now, Mr. Ian Ellis.
Are there people out there rooting for the Joker like Wile E. Coyote? He's gonna get him! Guys, I have never been to the psych ward. Not even to visit my friends. A couple of them got locked up. I'm like, nope. I have no time to visit you. I get out and they tell me about it. And I'm just like, so you good? Alright, I'll continue being your friend. Promise me it's safe? I don't know how the food is at a psych ward, but I imagine it's crazy. Man. Shannon's parents, I apologize. Usually a more fun night than this, a light crowd, you know, it's a little intimate. So. If you don't think I'm funny, just snap your fingers. Treat it like a poetry night. I don't even want to be a comedian anymore. Quit. I'm a 1920s jazz man. I'm a black jazz guy. I'm done with comedy. I'm now culturally appropriating full time. I'm a professional white black guy. Snap your fingers, goddammit. I was outside and I was smoking a comedy cigarette. Wink, wink. It's totally decriminalized. It'll soon be legal. And I got roofie. You know, watch yourself, ladies. Smoking my comedy cigarette. Somebody handed me a cigarette. It had CBD in it. Totally fucked up my high. This is a Batman to Weeds Joker. Got him. You're going to Arkham. Hope that wasn't the last of your weed, because that didn't go work out. And that was the end of my sack. I feel like this dickbag owes me $5. I'm gonna have $5 on you. Ruined my hide. Son of a bitch. I was walking up here, I passed two white ladies.
Thank you.
They were over by the train station. They were dumping white ladies. I'm not talking shit, I'm just taking a picture. They were chubby, but they were young. It was a delicious chubby. You don't appreciate chubby bitches when you're young. You feel like they should be skinny, but then you get old, you're like, oh man, their titties are still firm. Chubby girls, when they get old, those titties fall apart. Turns into loose meat, they're no good after 40. You get a 23-year-old chubby girl that's delicious. Should appreciate it. Be happy to have their vagina. Shannon's parents. Dad,
oh, you
consider me chubby white.
Second to you.
I'm done.
Your wife is beautiful and skinny, but a chubby 23-year-old.
How are you?
Perfect. Good.
How
are
you doing?
You've been how long have you been married?
30 years.
See, you don't give a fuck anymore, right? I'm married to my wife like 4 years. I don't care if she fucks another dude. I'm over it. I gave up on sex. I don't care anymore. I'm just not inspired. He said his wife has better pussy. She's not her head and agreeing. Like, I don't care what you do. But he's like, no, she's still the moon and the stars. It's wonderful. It's happening. These white ladies, two of them, in their 20s, and they said as an outing, hey, let's meet at a park bench next to a train station. That's what they're doing with their life. They had to get out of the house, and they're broke as fuck. Wearing sweatpants, these two delicious little 23-year-olds. And I walked past part of their conversation. One of them said to the other, there's no wisdom in it, but they're going to publish my book. A weird-ass statement to take in. It's almost like she's admitting. She's like, listen, I'm not about shit, but I'm going to take this paycheck. It's coming out. Like, don't read it thinking you're going to learn something, because you're not. But this paper is going to be amazing. Everybody got to have a little wisdom in their pocket, right?
Oh, what's up, Tom?
A little bit, something that got you through life.
I wasn't sure if it was you.
You guys are over 20, right? Yeah. You've been through a breakup or a dying. Somebody has said some shit to you that you're like, it helped me get through life. That's a little bit of wisdom. Does anybody here have any of that? Like, best way to get over a woman is to get under another woman? It doesn't really mean shit, but it helps you get through life. It's a little piece of wisdom. It's something you keep in your pocket. It helps you figure it out. Anybody have one of those in their life? This is a very vulnerable thing. Anybody want to admit they were fucked up in life and then somebody sent some fortune cookie shit to them and they figured it out? Was it the light? He's autistic about other people's time. He's like, wrap it up! Seriously, does anybody want to be vulnerable enough to tell me about a moment when their back was against the wall? And you're like, I should kill myself.
Oh my god.
Somebody said something nice to you. Anybody? Ladies? You look like a hoodlum. Somebody said something to you, but you're not dead right now. You have a friend. Vlad, if you had to turn it around, these are your future in-laws. Just get it out of the way now.
Like, yeah.
I was on a killing spree, and then somebody said something. I turned. So what was it?
I don't remember.
Shit, man. See, this is why there needs to be a class. Like, someone has to write this stuff down like it's the Bible. There's a lot of drunk sayings. We gotta pretend Jesus said it and teach that to the kids. Because otherwise, they're unprepared for life. Nobody tells you how to go through a breakup. They didn't teach that in home ec. Just take that L and feel sad and cry a lot and think you'd never love again.
You want to know what my dad told me when I was pretty salty?
Yeah.
That you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Because I was kind of a bitch. And he's like, you need to be a little sweeter. You need to be
he's
a little
like, Shannon.
Yeah.
He said that in the nicest way
he
possible.
He really did. He really, really did.
Sweetie, you're kind of a cunt. Listen, I love you. You're my daughter. If you would like to have somebody else love you in this life, sweeten it up. Right, this is the music. My name is Ian Ellis.
I'll have a good night. Exhibit or DMX. Who you think is going to
I'm MC Ashiru, I'm on the 1 and 2. I go to FLA on the holiday. Whether you beatbox or play the boombox, I'm about to drop hip hop and that's nonstop. So take a look now, it's off the hook now. And like the beat nuts, baby, it's off the books now. Hey yo, my taxes, they be the same way. Cause I follow them and get a G back on the same day. Hey yo, West Jack, they never knew that. They be asking, yo, how the hell this nigga do that? Because I'm true that, and y'all be jive like. I'm only here to make sure everybody body vibe rock. So now the vibe tight and we continue on. I'm Asher Boo, that's 88. Ayo, word is bar. You in the jamboree, y'all can jam for free. All you really gotta do is pay attention to me. See, it's the one that you revere like Paul. And feel like nightfall. Be glad you made the right call. Alright, y'all. I got one life to live and I'm serving two masters, three backs to pack, the second roll of faster, four different directions where my music is played, five figures of fold so that I could get paid, a half dozen rhymes that get written every week, on the seventh day I rest, sometimes I don't speak, I ate the bread of life to drink down the wine, the many moves of women combined to make nine, it was told by my mama, my very first dime, boy you just be, and you naturally shine, so I took her advice, grabbed the mic device, now I'm a fiend of the live show, getting them sights, state the car for house, I represent the soul, right up on U Street, everybody wanna roll to the jamboree, y'all can jam for free, all you really gotta do is pay attention to me, see it's the one that you would feel like Paul, feel like Nightfall, be glad you made the right call, alright y'all. All you really gotta do is pay attention to me. See, it's the one that you revere like Paul. And feel like Nightfall. Be glad you made the right call. All this right, is y'all. A hypnotic hop along like Butch Cassidy, the Dundance Kid. No doubt, you know it has to be Asher Root, capital A. That's for the all, the first, the foremost. From who I get my call, the S is for the songs that I enjoy. Strategies I employ to serenade the real B-boy. And the H, huh, that's for her at the shows. Them real hip-hop women don't be acting like hoes and E. It's for equality I'm building. Grown folks on down to children. Plus, all the elders who have filled in the gaps. Now I avoid the traps and see things as they really are. Then I react with a rap of rhymes. I keep my cipher unbroken. You know what the last letter stands for. I got a rap of rhymes. I keep my cipher unbroken. And the U, of course, it stands for the earth. It's the jamboree. Y'all can jam for free. All you really gotta do is pay attention to me. Hey, it's the one that you revere like Paul. Feel like Nightfall. Be glad you made the right call. All right, y'all. Come on out. All right, y'all. Jamboree, y'all can jam for free. All you really gotta do is pay attention to me. See, it's the one that you revere like Paul. Feel like Nightfall. Be glad you made the right call. All right, y'all. All right, y'all.
Ah!
I have a lot of strong views about cultural appropriation. It really grinds me the wrong way when people complain about it.
See what I'm saying? He's about to do it again. Hey, he's taking it to the dark place again. But listen, he's doing it. This is what he does.
I'm going to make a YouTube video explaining all my thoughts so that people can go ahead and like say whatever they have to say and hear me out fully. I really have a lot to say about this, and I want to say this. Not just a random thought I've had. I have really strong beliefs on this.
Yeah, but not at the comedy podcast.
Because Vlad is so unassumingly smart, I feel like he has, like, autism. Like, you can't look like that and know that much about stuff.
Yeah, I'm an autistic savant.
This bastard's on the spectrum.
He's on the spectrum.
He's got superpowers.
Nah, right. You good.
Hold on, I turned the podcast back on. So, what was your direction? How should the show go?
Well, he gave this guy an edible last week, and he seems to still be high off it. He took it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I like your Chinese eyeness. I'm not going to say chink, though. I don't want to get this guy in trouble.
He's Kenner canceled.
Hey, Vlad, did somebody call you a cultural appropriator?
No, no one did, but I keep seeing all over social media other people being called out for stupid shit.
Where are you seeing this?
For braids?
Some white girls cooking, making tacos. You're profiting off of Mexican culture. You cannot make tacos. Like all this other shit.
Who's saying it?
Two braids in my hair.
I don't know the people saying it, but enough people are saying it for there to be
articles
about it.
How many people are saying it?
The Russians.
The Russians. There's people with
the very few Russian blacks out there.
Who gives a fuck about these 30 people that say this shit?
I think it's a lot more than that. I think there's a lot of people are complaining about cultural appropriation.
Dude, I think people are trying to pay their bills.
You should be trying to pay your bills. Stop worrying about stupid shit.
Yes, young people worried about this shit. Nobody in their 30s gives a fuck about any of this shit. Motherfucker wearing sweatpants.
I think it's white people.
Jerry curls. Hold on, come on, fam.
How many black guys have you met named Jerry? I never met a black guy named Jerry.
Like, come on,
I just hit the chest timer. It's my turn for a move. One of the dope things Milo said was he was like, a lot of this SJW shit is the elite class, being the news reporters, are mad at their audience because they're meeting them now. They didn't meet them before, but now there's message boards. And they're realizing that their audience is like, smarter than them and funnier than them and calling them out on their bullshit, and they like to look down on them as like uneducated people that need to be saved. So I don't even know where this was going. That was something Milo was pointing out. Guys, listen to our
Shafir. I was listening to that one on the way over. The new Shafir podcast.
What did you think?
I'm not even into Milo being there. It's just
if someone
stuff.
Calls themselves a troll, doesn't that feel like a parachute to be like, can't catch me? Can't hold me accountable. I'm just a troll. Aha, it was a joke.
I mean, people if you say you're a troll, it's like saying I'm a piece of shit.
That's a pretty great
I'm
area.
A real shitbag. I like to sit on my basement and hate on people.
No, you're right. I think it's smart on his behalf to call himself a troll, because then he can always use that as an excuse. Like, oh, it wasn't me. I was just trolling. Those are my real thoughts. That's very crafty, smart strategy.
Or you don't have to apologize. You're just troll.
You called me a cocksucker.
Yeah.
You were just trolling?
Hey, what's up, cocksucker?
Were you trolling?
Hey.
I thought you were my dad with a cigar in his mouth. You cocksucker.
Colorado. Hey, I heard he been killing on his sets, dude.
I'm so salty. I missed the Chicago show.
Who's been killing?
Joey Diaz. Clap is when somebody goes up to do comedy, but instead of making jokes, they're making saying stuff to get social points, and people are like, "Yeah, I agree with you." Yeah, it's like they're getting response because they're like making a point, and that's how nobody's here. Yeah, that's not comedy. And clap just fucking annoying.
Back to the black room. Put them in the black room. I want them to get eaten alive and spit out the front door. Blah, skeleton.
I just became aware of the fact that there's such thing as black rooms. I didn't even know that was a thing. I would love to go try one out.
It'll be a comedy show.
Innocence.
Black room? It's African American rooms.
Possibly culturally appropriate.
Get the fuck out of here with that shit. This motherfucker saying African American.
Oh, what do you want to go all the way? That's a spade room. It's a room full of spades. That's an old guy, racist sir from like the 40s.
It's a real circuit.
It's right. A cigar.
There's a Latin circuit.
You gotta have a cigar when you say racist shit.
Never heard of. 85 South makes a lot of money.
Oh, you thought it was a giant penis?
Adam, say your name again so everybody knows.
I'm not putting my name on this shit.
Fuck you, Adam.
I'm unknown. I said questionable things on this podcast. I don't want it to come back and bite me in 7 years.
I feel like you're made out of like 90s SNL and Dane Cook. Like you're just a lot of that stuff stitched together.
No, you know what? I realized you remind me of Jesse from Breaking Bad. More than I was like, why do you seem so familiar?
Seems
you
like
you talk and kind of act like Jesse from Breaking Bad.
I despise that comment.
Did you guys watch
really?
That was like kind of a compliment. I love the show.
Seen
and
the movie
started
even
nowhere.
It's good.
And nowhere.
I appreciate the comment.
But it was a fun ride.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you don't like Jesse?
You didn't watch it.
I mean, I haven't seen it.
Kind of like a white kid trying to put on the cameras, and that's a little hooder than he was.
Is that a correct assessment of like Jesse from Breaking Bad? White guy trying to act a little bit hooder than he is for the camera. He's putting on for the cameras a little bit. I didn't like
you.
I didn't like the comparison.
Don't look to him for backup.
That was his way of saying, Adam, you're one of those white guys that acts kind of blackish.
You just said to KB. Hey, did you overwoke this shit and look at it like extra?
No, I didn't say woke. I don't ever say the word woke in my life.
So I kind of said it, but I'm more getting the subtext.
He just hit.
Oh, I said putting on for the cameras a little bit.
I was maybe kind of saying that, but I was mainly saying like you remind me of him specifically, of like the way like that actor looks and acts.
Just
like,
his demeanor.
Yeah, I got you.
Just the way he cares.
Hey, put it this way. Jesse gets lineups. Let's put it that way. Jesse doesn't go to the Bo-Ricks. He gets lineups.
But bro, I grew up in Aurora, so I grew up around what white dudes did. I mean, what is it? It's
No. You know what it is?
It's the same shit.
Adam, there's different types of white guys to get. Like, a white dude could go get, like, lined up, get a fade or whatever, but don't get the really thin.
The John B.
Yeah, don't do that shit.
Adam, you have tattoos on your hands.
I like Sebastian.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some life decisions that didn't work out before you came to this.
He doesn't want any.
What is the hand tattoo?
What are your other lives that you lived before you got here?
What does the hand tattoo signify?
Before comedy, like, it's not cheap to get tattoos. It's not an easy decision. Hey, I'm going to cover my body so I can't have an office job.
I mean, you know
decisions
what
decisions were made.
I don't
life
work for
lived.
Anybody, so that helps, right?
Tell
I can do what
about
I want.
Your past lives.
Bitch, I'm Olan's like a 16-year-old. But I don't have a boss, so I can tattoo my face if I want. I'm about to get a dick on my cheek. That way, if I fall asleep at a frat party, they don't know what to do.
They add another dick.
That was pretty good.
Dude, he eats double dicks.
Or see who
like, this is easy. He's drawing more fucked up shit on his face, right?
It was mine the whole time.
Bro, did you draw a dick on his face? I think this place is haunted. That ghost drew a dick on his face. It's a petty ghost.
Yeah, I fell asleep in a very pristine fucking. They don't party at this frat house.
Right, does anybody have any aspect of comedy they want to call out?
Don't ever give the enthusiastic laugh a clap. If it's not good, if it doesn't spur that emotion, leave it alone. Let them fail in silence.
And he's speaking from experience.
Let me die up there. I want to.
Yes, but the opposite is also true. If somebody makes you laugh and you just go ahead and you go in and like smile and smirk from it, if that made you smirk, make an audible laugh. Let that person know that you're doing a good job.
Don't like, force it though. Like no, a girl no, faking no, an orgasm.
Don't force it. Don't do a fake laugh.
Guys,
but if
the
laugh
the
made
audience.
You feel good, vocalize it and let the person know.
Let me tell you one of my favorite things KB said. I quote her a lot. She said, you know who ruined comedy? Comics.
By not writing? Motherfucker, go home and write.
Told you had to do that shit. You did that.
No, I like to blame the room.
No. That audience was shit.
Oh. You're
trash. People compromise themselves is set a precedent.
It's a soul
that
sucker out there.
Became the line to toe. But we're towing the line for the bitchiest.
Nah. What grinds my... All right. Comedians think it's people supposed to lick their ass. Nobody has to lick your ass. Nobody has to kiss your ass. Like,
you know, but that's why I'm drinking out of this straw right now. I don't put my mouth on the glass anymore.
Anytime he's on an interview with someone he sees as a lesser comic, he talks down to them as if they are garbage. Like it's old school O&A and he can just break their balls.
Anyone who gives advice at an open mic is a piece of shit.
He turns into a SJW. He turns into the good student again.
Bill Burr?
Yes.
The special was good though, right?
Jim and Sam, who's the little trailer? Theo Von, the little trailer park boy.
I like Theo Von as a person. He's just a fun guy.
Shit all over Theo Von.
Seems like a nice guy.
Just treated him like trash.
Cool.
Like he was too good to be there. In the E3 podcast, he made this motherfucker read ads for his Netflix special. You're there. We know your Netflix special is out. He made Ethan Klein read an ad. Hey, guys, like Blue Chew.
But Bill Burr.
Why is everybody selling Blue Chew?
Bill Burr, when you're in LA, is the top, one of the, him and Sebastian.
What do you guys think of this? Everybody that kind of like funds themselves through Patreon and podcasts, they all have the same fucking sponsors.
Sponsors, yeah.
So there can't be any money in that pool. If Come Town and Adam Carolla and Joe Rogan are all pumping the same thing, there's a lot of crossover there between all the audience.
And guess what? They're not getting paid a lot either.
They ain't getting paid shit to interrupt their show and hawk some horseshit.
Well, what's crazy is when I ask
all
anyone
of a sudden they have dead
they're
dicks.
They're legit not. Like,
23, I haven't had a boner.
Anyone under 23, they're not listening to Howard Stern, though. They're listening to Joe Rogan. A stoner that wants to fucking
nobody
philosophize
even
about
Howard Stern has a show. They think he retired 10 years ago.
I did. I totally thought he retired, fam.
Dude, Howard is funnier than any of these motherfuckers, bro.
No.
Howard is funnier than Bill Burr could dream of being.
First of all, he wasn't funny in the first place. What he was like, he was the only person that was showing titties. All right?
No, no, he's funny. Outside of the nudity.
It was childish. So it appealed to the audience. Like he would come on ETV and be like, "Ooh, I might see some titties. Might get a boner off this." That was his audience.
I beg to differ, man.
Now, so he was never funny, but now he wants to distance himself from that, and he wants to be known as a great interviewer.
Interviewer,
he wants
yeah.
to be known as being like stoic and grand and like getting to the deepest.
Do you listen
truth
to him, bro? Because I feel like you.
I am telling you who this man is.
Hey,
and he's arrogant, and he thinks everybody else isn't shit that isn't him. He looks down on everybody.
Because he's better than everybody.
And he games the system. He's one of those, like, by any means necessary, get the money, get the views.
Well, he's got that Jerry level of success. Jerry's a bit smug, right?
Sneak
but he earned it, right?
Let me tell you this. Like, what's revolutionary about Chappelle is that he has fucking money and he's using it. And what's shameful about Howard Stern and a lot of these other motherfuckers is they have fuck it money and they ain't saying fuck it. They toeing the line. So you're compromised. You're garbage.
Howard's great.
Adam Carolla went out on a limb and stuck up for a bunch of people on the road.
Howard goes out on a limb every fucking day.
No, he doesn't.
When's the last time you've heard a headline that said controversial shock jock Howard Stern?
What do you mean? Billie Eilish was on the show last week. It was revealed that she was
Billie Eilish,
the biggest musician in the game right now. She's 19 years old. Yeah. She's got 19 billion views on YouTube. She's on the show the other day with her parents. He got her parents to reveal that she was created through in a test tube. She's a test tube baby. She didn't even fucking know. It broke news. Yeah, he breaks New York Times headlines every episode, bro.
How gossipy many of us heard about
horseshit news? Yeah,
you
I didn't
probably
know
reading
it.
The New York Times, the most prestigious newspaper. You know what I'm saying?
So he does you're break news, but I think they were saying that he doesn't stand up like for other people. Doesn't use his platform to like.
He does. He's like as big stands up for gays, everybody, Jewish. Black
who cares
people,
if he stands
everybody,
up?
Bro.
Is he
all the underdogs.
Is he funny? Is he?
Yeah, he's so funny.
Is he telling
funny
you the truth?
So funny, bro. He was playing that Jason Ellis's podcast. I even heard the shit he said. Like he's bringing it up, talking about it.
Jason Ellis
or what?
Shane
Sean
Gillis?
Ellis, Shane Gillis. Yeah, he played the shit, and it wasn't that funny. But it was like, he commented on it.
But it was out of context, the clip that was passed around.
Yeah, no, but he was real about it. Like, Howard said riskier shit than that. You know what I mean? He said crazier shit than he said to get knocked off SNL. Just talking about it, you know? Howard doesn't give a fuck. He's not afraid of nobody. He got $600 million in the bank.
Yes, he is. He shook him off.
And the most successful show and the biggest audience.
He still
audience.
Does undermined shit to sabotage other people's shows.
Yeah.
That's cowardly.
What's this crappy shows? They like prank call like Christian shows and
no,
shit.
But why
that's not leading the way that's.
It's funny.
He's trying to hold on to power.
No, yeah, no, he just like pays his dudes to do the shit. Work. You know, like, you know what I mean? They have to come up with content, like funny stuff, so they do a lot of prank
they
phone
create.
Calls. They create hilarious
you gotta make
content.
That content, man. You gotta make it, bro.
Well, they have to fill up 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. And he has one of the funniest and most successful shows of all time.
You know what?
And everyone
you
is
talking
says,
about him so much.
Hey, who do you know that? How many? No one pays to listen to these podcasts.
Success.
Every one of Howard's fans, they pay $15 a month to listen.
50 million
no,
screaming fans are never
a
wrong.
Month to
50 million screaming fans.
M.
Of
Sirius was nothing before he joined. No one had it. Now everyone has it.
No, everyone does not. You got
is
serious?
Justin Bieber
serious?
The greatest musician because
serious?
He has the most.
Yes, I guarantee you.
Nobody
yeah,
does.
Agree and
got
yeah.
I got it.
Very true.
Justin Bieber had a good album, though, and it was, like, produced by Diplo
but
and,
is he one of the greatest musicians of all time?
No.
The Beatles were.
Or is he just make teenagers?
Wait, Michael Jackson
speaking
was.
Speaking of one of the greatest musicians of all time, Selena Gomez is dropping a new album.
You fuck with Selena Gomez?
I
he
love
her.
Her. I've seen
yeah.
her. I've seen her live in concert. I spent, like, $300 to be have front pit.
Too much.
Seat.
This is too much.
Like, shit. It was the best show I've ever
shirt.
Had. Ever been
stickers,
to.
Everything.
I feel like her music's not that great, and I don't think she's as beautiful as others are pop stars. Like Ariana Grande, maybe?
Well, that is your opinion.
You think she's better than her?
Absolutely.
But if you went to high school with both of them, one of them would be much, much, much above the other one
something
in everyone's
I,
eyes.
Something I learned this week about my own personal taste is, like, most of my favorite albums are people doing a gimmick, doing a character. Like, I love CeeLo, but Gnarls Barkley is my favorite shit. Oliver Tree.
His new shit with Big Boy is
mindless self-indulgence. It's all people doing a shtick. Nine Inch Nails, Year Zero. Saul Williams, Nikki Tardust. And there's some kind of freedom in doing a character where you can take greater risk. And like the
Garth
lie,
Brooks.
The lie reveals the truth.
Garth Brooks became that weird motherfucker
Chris
with the hair.
Don't ever mention that ever the fuck again.
Did that shit work or not?
No. Do you see him doing it now?
That shit backfired. He was the biggest of the 90s, too.
People need a mask to be courageous.
I didn't realize Hootie was the best-selling album, though. 30 million records sold in that. Best-selling album of the 90s. Hootie and the Blowfish. Loud, hold your head.
I didn't know Selena Gomez was
their
shit.
Dude, you think she's not?
I have like...